Sermon this morning comes from John chapter 15. John chapter 15, starting with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. Pray with me. God, our God, help us now. Help us to know you. Help us to understand your word, that you will be glorified. Help us, we need you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The idea of Jesus Christ being a vine and us being a branch off that vine is a very popular one. I've seen church banners up on a wall and it says, I am the vine and you are the branches, and there's a nice branch and there's grapes next to it. And it's a beautiful idea. It's a lovely idea. It's beautiful poetry. But if this whole section of passages was being done here and you had a theme going along the wall, you would have that, and then you would have a dead branch, and next to that you would have a fire and branches being burned. We miss the idea that this is a shocking idea here for the disciples. Although there is the beautiful idea of fruit, there's also the deadly idea of judgment next to it. As Jesus is telling this parable, these would be men who had walked through vineyards, and they had seen this idea. And as he's talking, they would see a vineyard in their mind. They would see the vines going along the arbor, and they would see branches, and they would see grapes, and they would see the vine dresser coming along with a hooked blade. And he would come to the branches, and he would grab one, and he would cut off a branch. And he would drop it, and he would come, and he would look, and he would inspect, and cut off another branch. And he would come to a dead branch and take it. And the next thing that happens is, those dead branches that are laying around, people come, and they're gathering up these dead branches. And over here, there's a roaring fire. And he would go along, and they would throw these branches into a roaring fire. So Jesus is saying, listen, you're a branch on the vine. And the vine dresser comes. What kind of branch are you? Are you a branch that is producing fruit? Are you a branch that's producing good things for the kingdom? And if we go down to these last verses, are you a branch that is producing love for God? A branch that is producing love for one another. And what does that look like as Jesus is speaking of it? Jesus is speaking of a life laid down for his fellow man. And he's saying, anyone that doesn't look like that, his hook's coming. And he's going to grab you and he's going to cut you off. He's going to throw you down and you're going to be picked up and you're going to be thrown into the fire. You see, there's a sense of urgency here on this passage. As you imagine yourself as a branch and you're looking out and you're seeing a man coming and cutting branches. Seeing someone come along and gather branches and you see the roaring fire. He says, abide in me. Abide in me. This is your only rescue. To abide in me. That's live in me. Have your life in me. Have your strength in me. And the things that you produce in this life will be of me, and the Father will be glorified by what is coming from you. Or else that next banner is yours. The fire is yours. The judgment is yours. So the call this morning is to abide in Christ Jesus. Have your life in Christ Jesus. And produce the fruit of Christ Jesus. Now our first step here comes from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. This first move is find your strength in the true vine. We can look at this life, and we can see everything that needs done, and we can say, I can't do it. I cannot do it. I cannot go and love somebody else because I can't even deal with my own life. I can't even deal with my own heart. I can't even conquer my own sins. How do I go and love somebody else? How do I go and produce fruit? Many of you may have heard the real truth of this parable and said, cut me off and throw me in the fire. I don't have it in me. But Jesus here is saying that the strength comes from Him. The strength comes from knowing Him. In different places in the Scripture, we're talked about as vines, and part of the beautiful imagery that it uses, it talks about our old people still being filled with sap. Well, the sap in our old people is the strength that's coming from being nourished in Christ Jesus. The true vine. And we run to other things and we run to other places for joy and contentment and peace. Well, really, we're running just to have drugs that will numb us. It's our television. And our sports and our hobbies so often. But when we're going to Him, and as the Scripture talks about, seeking His face, you know, going to the Scriptures and reading what He says and thinking, why does He say this? What does this mean? What does this mean about His character? What does this say about who He is? And learning about Him and knowing Him. Jesus says, come to me. And He says, learn about me. He says, come to me and walk with me. Come to me. Follow me. He says, feed on me. Be nourished in me. And this is where the true strength comes from. So we read in verse 4. Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. You know, I get fearful when I think of the zeal that I had when I first got saved. In and I see my zeal waning now. I hear people saying, I wish I had that first joy that I had, or I wish I had the zeal that I had at some other point in my life. And that scares me because I've seen branches, real branches that have been cut off. And I see them. I've seen them produce buds. I've seen leaves start to grow on branches that have been cut off. And it scares me because we can look and wonder, have we already been cut off? Where's the fruit? Are we living on some sap that we had tapped into at some point in our lives? So if you're not in the Word, if you're not feeding on Christ now, what are you living on? Is it some dwindling reservoir? Some sap left in a cut off branch? So there's a sense of urgency here. And the urgency is to feed on Christ. To feed on this true vine. Daily, to seek His face and have this nourishment, have this strength that you will live and you will shine and you will produce fruit. That the day of judgment will not visit you. Now, for our next step is to reject the false vines. And again, verse 1. I am the true vine. And he says he's the true vine because there are many opportunities to go feed on false things. To feed on other relationships. To feed on distractions. To feed on our own egos. To feed on our own strengths. And also to feed on false teachers. But we'll get to that next. See, the false vines. We have this idea in Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. So we have this idea continuing that there's a place where we gather our nourishment, a place where we gather our refreshment, a place where we actually are energized for life. Here it's talking about it even as water. We can live a long time without food. But a man doesn't live long without water. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Here we have the idea of feeding on something else or trying to feed on something else. To try to find strength and nourishment and security somewhere else other than in Christ Jesus. Now we are oftentimes a culture that's anemic. We don't have the strength and the energy that's expected in Scripture. The strength and the energy that flows from the living God. Now, the idea of a power source. I mean, what is a power source capable of? You know, some people, they can't operate their blender or their toaster and their... At the same time, something's going to pop. There's a fuse that's going to go. There's only so much that they can handle. So much energy that can be put forth. What if Christ Jesus is your energy source? What if Christ is your power? What if He is where your love comes from? Because as we got to the end of this passage, we're talking about love. We're talking about the fruit of love being manifested. And that is an action. It's a ways in which we're interacting with other people. Caring for other people. Nurturing other people. Ways in which we're laying our lives down for other people. And it comes from Christ Jesus. Now Psalm 115:49 deals with this idea of false vines or trying to find our strength or our power in other places. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 9. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them. The idea that when you're seeking another energy or you're seeking another strength or to find your nourishment somewhere else, you're not going to have it. One great story is of Corrie Ten Boom. I love Corrie Ten Boom, and I love her dad. If my wife wasn't so wise, I'd probably have a child named Casper by now, because that was Corey's dad's name. Corrie Ten Boom, she went through the concentration camps. And in the concentration camp, she had this horrible scenario where she was. I mean, her and her sister ended up being stripped down naked. They ended up thrown into a building where there was no heat. And their bed was straw. And then the straw was filled with fleas and lice. And her sister wasn't strong enough to get through. And her sister actually died. She watched her sister wither away to nothing in these circumstances and die there. Well, afterwards, Corrie is traveling around and she's speaking at different places and she's sharing the gospel. And as she's doing so, at one point she looks out and she sees one of the prison guards that she holds responsible for her sister's death. And this prison guard, this former Nazi, walks up to her and says, "Isn't it wonderful that we have forgiveness in Jesus Christ?" And he sticks out his hand to shake her hand. And the way she recounts the story, she says she didn't have any love in her for this guy. And she prayed silently at that moment, "God, if you would have me love this man, you are going to have to do it for me, because I can't do it." And she describes the situation of her hand rising without her choosing for it to rise, and going into that man's hand. It's something like an explosion of warmth and acceptance in that moment. The love that was manifested there was the same love that Christ Jesus manifested in his dying for you. You are an enemy of God. You were an enemy of Christ Jesus. Your sins killed Jesus. And the Father has loved you. Now for us now to be in this world and to see that we don't have the strength to love. That's the reality. In ourselves, we are a branch cut off that can produce no fruit. But when we know the reality that Jesus Christ laid down his life as that demonstration of love for us, that fruit manifests in our lives. You and yourself, you don't have the strength to love me. You don't. If you knew everything about me, if you knew the shadows of my heart, you wouldn't deal with it. You wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. But in Christ Jesus, we can love the most hideous. Now, there's the extreme part of it. Let's boil it. Let's bring it back. You can love your punk brother. You can love your obnoxious sister. You can love your distant husband. You can love your disrespectful wife. You can love. You can love because you abide in Christ Jesus. So the false vines, we give up on them. The false vines, we turn from them. and we dwell and have our strength in Christ. Our next step, number three, is to watch for false teachers. Again, verse 1, I am the true vine. And there are many out there that would offer you other things. There are many out there that would say, believe in yourself. There are many out there who would sing of the triumph of the human spirit. The human spirit is what killed Christ. But triumph and victory comes in the gospel of Christ Jesus. In Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14, it says, for from the least of them, even to the greatest among them, everyone is greedy for gain. And focusing on the idea of false teachers at this point. Everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace. But there is no peace. You see, promoting or imagining that there is a peace in this world apart from the gospel in Jesus Christ, that person is a false prophet. We must watch for that. We watch for that with our counseling and our counselors. We watch for that with the preachers that we hear on TV. I tell you, sometimes I get discouraged with my own preaching and I wonder if I am what I'm supposed to be, or I am what I need to be. And recently I was listening to a preacher on the radio. And even bad preachers, I feel like I can usually get something from them. And what I'll do is I'll just listen for a scripture passage. And when they eventually bring a scripture passage, I'll focus on that. And then I'll meditate on that passage for the rest of the sermon if he's not really talking about that. And so I'm driving and there's nothing good on the radio, so I'm listening to this preacher. And not only did he not expound upon any actual doctrine of the Bible, he never even referenced the scripture passage. And then I felt like, okay, I'm not such a bad preacher after all. At least I read the Bible in the pulpit. Yeah. But the true preachers and the true preaching of the Word, it's to point you to Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible, it's the story of God creating a holy people through Christ Jesus. And so we watch for these false teachers. We watch as they don't point you to Christ. But they point you to yourself and clever schemes and clever ideas. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. That sounds really familiar. Why do people pick a church? Why do people go to a church? They like the preaching. Or they like the worship service. Or they like the music. They like the entertainment. Or they like the programs. This is a sign of seeking what's empty and what's hollow. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Galatians 1:6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, answering that dilemma, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So it's in Christ Jesus, in the teaching of Christ Jesus, in Him crucified, that we are nourished in Him and we have our strength. Now we move to our second verse now. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. This is our fourth move. And it's see your suffering as a kindness. And I almost stuttered as I was reading that. Suffering does not seem like a kindness. But here it says that it is. When he looks on you and he sees those beautiful bunches of grapes, he brings the blade. Not to cut you off, but to cut you. To take things away is the idea of pruning. Areas that aren't going to produce fruit. Areas that are going to take away strength from the rest of your life. And he removes them. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If trials make us strong, I am looking forward to seeing some of you in your old age. I'm looking forward to seeing some giants in our midst. Because the pruning, it hurts. And I'm sorry you're hurt. I'm sorry for your pains. Sorry for the things you face. But it says here, and God says here, that this is a good thing for you. And he never lies. He never lies. So in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our trials, consider it pruning. Consider it a good thing being done for you, that you won't be wasting this energy and wasting that energy, but that you will be abiding in Christ and producing the fruit that comes from Christ Jesus. That the world will look and see your good works. The world will look and see the fruit that you produce, and they'll say, wow. And you'll say, yeah, I have a great God. A great God that has loved me in Christ Jesus. A great God that has nurtured me and cared for me and even pruned me. And when you're old and you're full of sap still, and you deal with the young ones, and you deal with my children, and you deal with my grandchildren, we can say, let me tell you about when God pruned me. And what he accomplished when he pruned me. And God will be glorified. Your heavenly Father will be glorified. But this only takes place, remember, this only takes place when you're finding your strength in knowing Christ. When you're finding your strength from being in his word. When you're finding your strength from godly fellowship. And don't forget the next banner. Because Christ laid it out clearly. But there's a judgment that comes. And a burning that comes when we don't abide in Christ Jesus. So abide there. Abide there in him. And produce great fruit. Pray with me. God, our God, we thank you for your word and your truth. We thank you that you leave no surprises for us. But you warn us plainly that if we do not produce fruit, we will be cut off and burned. If we do not abide in you, we will be weak and unable to do anything. But if we abide in you, we will grow. There will be trials. but we will blossom and shine and glorify you. Bless us now with this reality. Conform our thinking to your truth. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.